listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We got an action-packed Friday. Get ready for the weekend's betting show for you. Boy, oh boy, the NBA action. Some of it seemed easy. We'll talk about one of the easiest bets of the year we gave you yesterday, but also the flip side. I was playing wrong on Philadelphia. I thought we'd see flatness. We didn't. Now there's talk, oh, Simmons over Embiid. The numbers tell a different story. We got Steve Fezzik to help us out, NBA expert. Brad Powers, they're the pros who know. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Bottom of the hour, yes, it's official. 60 seconds of Game of Thrones odds. Only 60, though. You will hear the clock ticking. To keep us honest, you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a busy Friday, and we start with the NBA playoffs here on Straight Outta Vegas, where last night the Golden State Warriors took a 2-1 series lead with a 132-105 pounding of the LA Clippers. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective on what we saw last night at Staples Center?
You know, sometimes it's just easy. It really is just easy, and that scares me when it seems that way.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Brad came in, college expert, says, oh, Golden State's going to be motivated. We've been talking all year that Golden State's ebbs and flows, highs and lows, are wider than any team in the NBA. They feel like they can take a game off, even in the playoffs. But boy, Durant was challenged. Lo and behold, Golden State makes it look easy. Brad, does it, when you win a game that easily, do you feel good? Or does it feel like almost like in a movie? You know, like there's a movie a lot of people haven't seen called The Boost. You might remember it was Michael Keaton in the 80s was playing this guy. He was living fast. Sean Young was his wife. LA real estate. But then he finds a little white powder called cocaine. And he says, oh my gosh, this makes me feel good. I feel a little better when I do this. But you know, you would look at the movie and says, it's about 100 minutes. You know that the fall is going to come. When you're laying lumber on the road to the NBA with the champions, you and Freddie Fanny Pack are on the same side. How'd you feel?
I felt good. Cashed a ticket.
Oh, but that's it, huh? There's no,
I know full well that I can't do that every night and come out a winner.
But I'll tell you this, Fez, I would say if you were asked, if you were to give one golden rule handicapping Golden State, do they have clear motivation? If so, bet them. Could you say this is a flat spot? If so, bet against them in between pass. My gut feeling is you do pretty well with that, just that approach.
Agreed. It's just that easy. Think about the regular season when Golden State wasn't covering game after game, except RJ, when they played Denver, and Denver and Golden State were fighting for the number one seed. Whammo, Golden State crushes Denver in their last two games of the regular season to wrap up that number one seed. Same thing here. They were motivated off that game two loss.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping yesterday's NBA action, starting with Golden State. I'd say the following. My best bet in this game on Durant over the points. That's one I think there's a lesson to be learned from. So the points were about 26 and a half. We know all the professional talkers were talking about Beverly, Durant, Durant saying, you know who I am. And we thought, we've got a motivated Durant to put up some points. Now you might say, yeah, but you're going to pay a premium on that. We looked at the numbers this season and the odds were over under 26 and a half points. We said over. That feels square too. Let's be honest. Freddie Fannie, hey, he's going to try really hard. Bet him over. That seems a little simple to me. But then we looked at the numbers and the games Cousins did not play, which was just a different dynamic for Golden State, was applicable last night. Durant went over 26 and a half points, 28 games, and didn't go over 24. So 28 over, 24 under. So now you're saying even without motivation extra, Durant typically goes over 26 and a half this season without Boogie on the floor. You add in the extra motivation, you think that's an easy one. Not that it's going to win all the time, but it's going to make money long term. And then you might say, wait a minute. I thought it wasn't easy to bet beat Vegas. It's easy to bet, not easy to beat. Here's what I would say, though. And we've had many bookmakers we've talked to that explains this. These kind of props have a low limit. So, Fez, let's say I said, this baby, I am not uncertain, as Bobby Axelrod would say, the axe. And I was certain on something. How much could I get down through you if you really made the effort on Durant over, let's say, last night?
Well, over 26 and a half, just about 1,500.
Okay, but let's say I was willing to go to 27. You know, I wasn't that worried about a half a point.
Okay, probably getting only probably up to 7,000, RJ. Nickel limits at a whole bunch of places.
Yeah, so 7,000 is a lot. First off, let's make it clear. 7,000 is a lot of money. But the syndicates, the biggest bettors in the world, the organizations, they bet 7,500,000 a game. They don't mess around with something where they could get down 7,000 if they were lucky. So in a weird way, what the bookmakers have done is say, we're going to keep the limits fairly low on things like Durant over points. And we're just going to use the algorithm. We're just going to have a little Excel spreadsheet that tells us the average of Durant, the median, however they're going to approach it, 26 and a half. And then we'll let the bettors tell us if we got the wrong number. If there's a bunch of overs, we'll move up to 27, 28, whatever. I'd say the following. These kind of good bets are repeatable because the biggest bettors are not involved in these markets. The bookmakers don't spend as much time. They're a little more follow the formula. And because of that, when you find a spot where you think you have a real strong handicap, like Durant's motivation, I think even if it's obvious and even if the betting market doesn't seem to be accounting for it, that usually scares me. In the NFL, if I feel like I've got an angle and the betting market's ignoring it, I'm going to triple check to make sure I trust that angle. Here, I think the markets are not liquid enough to really, for us to know for sure if we're right or wrong. That's when we think we're right. We bet with aggression. Would you agree with that, Fez?
Agree strongly, friend of the show, the Hitman. You know, he loves making this sort of bets. And here's a guy that's able to hit right around 60% on bets like this, on player props. 60% just is not sustainable betting games against the spread. Much more difficult.
Yeah, we gave you that nice one on Durant over yesterday. And we'll keep looking at these player props. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last thing on Golden State. Colin Cowherd, the Herd, Fox Sports Radio. Personal friend, mentor, starts to show. I usually say that when I'm going to be a little critical, by the way. Starts to show. I mean, it's not Jonas-style criticism of Colin, but, right. You know, we try to be objective. About Durant, there is now greatness. This is a quote. There's now greatness, and there's Durant, who is above greatness. And I think if we were playing like some game in our dreams, you know, if you were a huge basketball fan and you had 45 seconds to live and you're on your deathbed and you're just, and through the grace of God, you get 45 seconds of euphoria of a life unlived. You could, if you could have been a basketball player, maybe that player is Durant. Because I think at his best, he might be the platonic ideal of a scorer at minimum. He can shoot over anybody. He can back you down. FDR, you know, who was paralyzed with polio, used to have, you know, where that time right before you fall to sleep and it like you're half dreaming. He used to try to encourage that, and he had a fantasy. He was sled riding and walking, you know, up the hill, and it was a way for him to experience something he couldn't. I could see Durant being that basketball player. But boy, oh boy, if you look at the numbers, it just feels like there's a big unanswered question. If this guy is Durant the best player in the NBA, or even one of the couple best, then how are these numbers for Golden State what they are? Now, this is coming from pregame.com research. When Steph is off the floor in the last three seasons, so during the Durant era, Golden State is 24-23. When Durant is off the floor, Golden State is 30-10. Now, I get it. That's not the end of the conversation. But you've got a team that when Curry plays, I mean, think about Golden State's record the last 3 years, and now you subtract out of 24-23 when Steph's out. What's their record? It's like probably 90%, right? We could take a look at that and talk about it after the break. But if you're 50% without Steph over 47 games, and you're 75% without Durant over 40 games, I'm not saying you can't be the best player in the world, but boy, doesn't that leave a big question mark?
I think you can definitively say that Steph is more important to Golden State than Durant.
So now, but somehow Durant's the best player in the NBA by far.
Not by far, certainly. But if you put both those players on a different team, maybe you would have a different conclusion.
Yeah, but it better be drastically different.
Yes.
All right, when we come back, we'll give you that number on Golden State with Steph playing, how good they've been. Also, recap the rest of yesterday's NBA action.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about an interesting scenario involving one NBA playoff team.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, it's 88 degrees. Air conditioner time. The neon is pumping.
Guys, the Philadelphia 76ers have taken a 2-1 series lead over the Brooklyn Nets. 131-115 was the final last night. No Joel Embiid, no problem for Ben Simmons and company.
That's been the narrative. And remember, Jonas is the love child of the talk radio industrial complex. I tell you, Fez, I love it when your numbers contradict the narrative, because I've been hearing, Ben's showing, you know, Embiid and Ben Simmons have some conflict. Without Embiid, Simmons steps up to show who Philly should really anchor their future to. But the numbers, they don't back it up.
No, the numbers completely contradict it. Without Embiid this year, the 76ers.
So this season only.
This season only. RJ, mediocre team, 8-10 straight up without Embiid. He missed 18 games.
Now, did Simmons play all 18 of those?
Played most of them. I don't have the exact number.
Okay.
And they only won one game all year without Embiid by double digits until, of course, last night.
Okay, so there was 18 games prior to last night without Embiid. one time the Sixers won by double digits.
Last game of the year, yes.
The last game of the year.
Yeah, the throwaway game.
So you're saying with 81 games in, Embiid had 17 games he missed, zero times the Sixers won by double digits.
Zero blowout wins without him. Yep.
The first 81 games of the year. Now, in the playoffs, in a game three, in which I picked Brooklyn, let's make that extra, I'm taking this personally, you might say, somehow Philadelphia wins by double digits. Now, it could mean a couple of things. One, Philadelphia is just playing so well they don't need Embiid. They just lost their first game, though, with him of the series. Or it could be, boy, this Brooklyn team, they showed in game one, but they're not a very good team.
Yeah, downgrade Brooklyn. That was my conclusion.
And think about why we're doing that, guys. It's because Philadelphia was in a spot where they hadn't dominated for the first 81 games of the season. And now in the playoffs, when the stakes are even higher, they dominated that spot being without Embiid. And thus, to me, it feels like it's more about the opponent. Down arrow, Brooklyn.
We next go out to the Western Conference where the 7 seed, the San Antonio Spurs, have a 2-1 series lead over the Denver Nuggets. 118-108 the final last night in San Antonio.
Now, this spread last night told a story. We always say every spread tells a story. And that story, what was the spread? 4.5?
4.5, Spurs favorite.
Typical home court advantage for the Spurs?
3.5 to 4.
So you're saying the Spurs were considered to be the better team, the 7 seed over the 2 seed.
Yeah, now this is a shocker. Think about it, with Denver with that significantly better record. But I do believe right now that the Spurs are indeed the better team. And what happened last night, RJ? Denver lost by 10. Denver, normally when we blame a team's loss on bad three-point shooting, Denver was great from three-point land. 15 to 31, they made almost half their threes. They still got blown out.
Yeah, so at this point, you have the Spurs with a higher power rating?
I do. And the Spurs,
now, what was the power rating difference entering the playoffs?
I had the Spurs worse by 1.5.
So 3 games, there were 82 games to get that power rating. Because here's what I know. We talked in the first segment how Freddie fanny pack. Now, who's Freddie? His name's Freddie. He's got a fanny pack. He's got a big belly. And he eats Twinkies on a stick, deep fried, right? That's all you need to know about Freddie. You don't want to bet with him. I'm thinking Freddie's overreacting. Freddie's saying, Spurs got to be better. Pop, pop. That's Freddie. You're doing the same thing.
I think Pop is a whole lot better than Malone.
But you didn't think that 3 games ago.
Well, remember, I did pick the Spurs to win the series outright, so.
No. Whoa. What did you say? You thought the difference between the Spurs and the Nuggets was 3 games ago.
I had them a point and a half, the Denver better in my power ratings.
And now after 3 games.
Now I have the Spurs the better team.
Doesn't that seem like a big reaction?
No, I think it's a proper reaction to the
to 3 games.
Well, the second game, I think Denver could easily have lost that game too. They could be down 0-3 and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We'd all agree.
First of all, teams can be down 0-3 and be better teams.
Yeah, it's true, but it doesn't happen often.
I don't know, Brad. What do you think?
Tampa Bay, Columbus. We throw away the whole regular season. Ah, Columbus should have been favored.
That's
the
hockey. Tampa Bay.
What does that mean?
Hockey's random in the playoffs, seemingly.
That is true. That's an interesting debate we'll have another day, which is how much luck is the right amount of luck? Because some would say the NBA has too little luck. The best team wins so often, sometimes it feels like a foregone conclusion. But in hockey, where we've had 8 seeds literally make the finals, have they won it before? I know they've made the finals, 8 seeds.
Yeah, I want to say that the LA Kings won as an 8 seed, if I'm not mistaken.
So now here's the question. The perfect amount of playoff participants, is the first team left out shouldn't have a viable chance to win it. Because if they did, they should be in the postseason, right? That's why I think, quite frankly, as much as I love the NCAA tournament, it's probably too many teams, because you could make the case that half those teams don't have a chance to win it. So now the question is, why are they in it if you can't win it? That could be a metaphysical thing for life. To me, if an 8 seed can win it or make the finals, then that means that 9th seed maybe could have won it or made the finals. Maybe too much luck in hockey. Interesting conversation.
Guys, we move to the NFL now, where we discussed this yesterday on the show, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the schedule makers and what they did to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of people felt was a little bit unfair. Well, as it turns out, even the NFL feels that it's unfair. Mike North, who's a senior director of broadcasting planning and scheduling, was quoted as saying that he'd love to have, quote, another shot at putting their schedule together, and even said that he's going to be kind of rooting for the Buccaneers in October, based on the miles and how many days, 49 to be exact, that they'll go without playing a game at home. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway?
Yeah, so we, I thought, had one of our better segments yesterday. Feedback's been great. How do professionals look at these schedules? If you want to listen to the podcast, and I'd recommend it, just search RJ Bell on your favorite pod player. You're going to see Straight Out of Vegas. Subscribe, it's free, every day, right after the show. And we have a deep dive podcast we do, the Dream Preview. Also, you can subscribe to for free. Fez, Tampa Bay now, this is when the NFL is apologizing, you know you've been wronged.
Absolutely.
Because they don't apologize easily. So let's quantify how bad this schedule is for Tampa Bay.
So Tampa Bay has to play 5 consecutive football games away from home, RJ, weeks 4 through 9. They got their bye week in there. There's only one other team in the NFL that amazingly has to go through this as well, the Raiders. It's so unfair to Tampa Bay, and here's why it's even worse for Tampa Bay. That 5 straight games away from home, Tampa Bay doesn't have much of a home field advantage. They're early
so
in the
it seems
year,
like not being away shouldn't be a big problem.
Well, by the time
or not being home shouldn't be a big problem.
Yes, but by the time they get home, they're going to have a bad record more than likely. They're going to be tired, and they're going to lose their fan base, and I think it's going to cripple them in the second half of the year. And oh, by the way, of course, they get one of those games is a fake home game in London. You hate to have that where you lose a home game.
Okay, so you're bringing up an interesting point, and it's a simple one. The order of your wins and losses matter. If you're a team that doesn't have a ton of equity, maybe New England can get away with the order not mattering. Oh, September, extended preseason for Belichick. That's what you hear. But if you're a team, especially with Winston, the sense of, do we sign him, don't we? Fifth-year option, is it a mistake? You start 4-1. Let's say you're going to end up 10-6. You start 4-1, or you start 1-4. You can still end up 10-6. You're going to have your streaks. Tampa seems particularly susceptible to getting down on themselves, to question themselves. And because of that, having that difficult schedule being so front-loaded is even a bigger negative.
And another way they gave Tampa the business, you hate it when you have to play a game on Thursday on the road. Well, guess what? Tampa has to play a road game on Thursday, and it's week 2 of their schedule again, front-loaded, difficult early on in the year.
All right, Jonas.
Guys, next up, we're going to something that we do on the show. It is going to be a reoccurring theme in which somebody in the media, a big-time media member, gives an opinion that, as it turns out, actually turns into a best bet.
Uncovered.
And it turns out that best bet uncovered belongs to none other than Charles Barkley, this courtesy of TNT.
They're not going to beat the Trailblazers. You know, I'm all in on the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. But you look at it. They're 5-for-33.
And then 5-for-28.
And they're not good shooters. So why the hell are they shooting them? Paul George is a three-point shooter. There's not one other player on that team that you would say, hey, I want you to shoot threes. Why would you shoot 60 threes if you're not a good three-point shooting team?
All right, Chuck, as I call him, saying, now let me be clear. Is he saying Portland comes out of the West? Or are you saying Portland beats OKC?
They were all on Portland before the Nurkic injury. Like, that was their team. Kim and Kenny Smith both like Portland to come out of the West, but I think they still like him in this series.
Okay, but not to come out of the West.
I don't think they've been as strong about that.
Because that's what I heard, just anecdotally, the Barkley like Portland to come out of the West. Either way, Fez, you've got OKC, and let's be honest, we gave you some real heat because you had OKC as a favorite. The road team in a series favored over Portland. Lose game one, he's got that, you know, howdy-doody smile on his face. Oh, it's okay, they missed their threes. Ah. And then they lose game two. Ah, they still missed their threes, they're just fine. And we were just killing them. Now, usually on a typical talk show, that's the end of it. But not here. Fez, you said, I'm going to step up and tell you my back in OKC is not just jibber-jabber.
Yeah, I doubled down last night. I went on out, and I bet OKC to win the series. I tweeted the ticket out, $2,000, RJ, plus $1.80 on Oklahoma City.
And you had them for thousands before that.
Yes.
So, Fez, listen, that's when I back off. Now, if he loses, we'll laugh. You know, we'll have the ticket up on the, you know, maybe a big screen of it. But as of now, Fez, you buy a grace period because you put your thousands down.
Yeah, I'm basically violating money management here, making a double bet on something. But I feel that strongly about the fact that Oklahoma City.
Do you feel that strongly, or did you just get goaded into it because you were getting destroyed by me so much?
Both.
And that caused you to have bad money management.
Bad money management.
Which might affect your kid's ability to go to private school.
No, because I still think it's a really good bet. It's going to help my kid's
ability. But it's not optimal. You're saying you did something suboptimal for your ego.
Yes.
And that means that you're risking your kids, even nutrition.
No.
Very ability to eat organic foods.
I violated my normal adherence to the Kelly criterion, not overbetting. This one I did overbet.
Which is suboptimal.
Yes.
Which in the long run makes you less money.
In the short run.
Which means your child has less money.
Short run might make me more.
And it might.
And I don't know if this is because he's so confident or lacking confidence, but when he put out the picture of the ticket on his Twitter account, there's no caption. It's just the picture of the ticket. So I don't know if he was fearful of the response or if he just said, here it is, read him and weep.
Well, Fez isn't fearful. We will give him that one. He can, though, be baited. And, that's the only reason I can compete with him betting is that psychological edge. Steve Fezzik, by the way, his Twitter account, you can see the ticket at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. It's at Fezzik Sports. In just a minute, I've been trying to avoid it. Game of Thrones odds.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Steve DeSager.
There was one day game in the majors. At cold and windy Chicago, the Cubs beat Arizona 5-1. Cubbies have won four straight. They're up to 9-9 this year. Arizona ends a four-game winning streak. Kyle Hendricks, who was 0-3, got the victory for the Cubs today. Seven scoreless innings, 11 strikeouts. Atlanta was due to play at Cleveland at the top of the hour. That's been rained out. They'll try a doubleheader tomorrow night. Tonight's forecast there in Cleveland, rain, temperature in the 40s, 20-mile-an-hour winds. Indian shortstop, all-star Francisco Lindor could be debuting finally, coming back from injuries this weekend. Top of the hour, Boston at Tampa Bay. The Red Sox, 6-13, worst record in the American League. Last year, the Red Sox started the season 17-2 and won the World Series. Outfielder Andrew Benintendi is officially back tonight. He'd missed the last three games with a bruised foot, and Boston promoted its top prospect from AAA, Michael Chavis, as Red Sox infielders Eduardo Nunez and Dustin Pedroia are each on the injured list. Also top of the hour, it's Kansas City at the Yankees. Yankees gave slugger Logan Morrison a minor league deal. Royals pitcher Brad Keller was suspended five games and fined for throwing at a batter this week. White Sox manager Rick Renteria got a one-game suspension from that, as did Tim Anderson, the batter from the White Sox. Minnesota at Baltimore tonight rained out. Doubleheader scheduled for tomorrow night. Thunderstorms expected there in Baltimore tonight, and there's a tornado watch. Mets are at St. Louis later this evening. The Mets have sent star pitcher Jacob deGrom back to New York for an MRI on his elbow. He was due to start tomorrow on the road. Three NBA playoff games tonight, two in the NHL. The Red Wings' new general manager is Steve Yzerman. The PGA events in South Carolina this weekend, it resumed today after a nearly four-hour rain delay. Dustin Johnson, ranked number one in the world, is tied for second after a second-round 67, one back of the leader Shane Lowry, who is still on the course. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Steve. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will get into more playoff action in the NBA. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Fezzik said, I have to play this drop.
I play for money. My kids eat.
So that, you know, his kids eat is what he said.
Guys, we put it, and RJ, you put this out on your Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas, should we do Game of Thrones? Should we provide weekly updates on Game of Thrones as the season?
Well, remember now, first we had the caller crossfire. Yes. That was a draw. Then we went to Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was 50-50.
Yeah.
Thousands of votes.
50-50, thousands of votes. It's very, I guess, a lightning rod for people, call them geeks if you watch it. Then there's other people that are really passionate about it. But nonetheless, here we are. It is Game of Thrones Friday, another episode this Sunday night. So, RJ, what are the latest odds?
Oh, I hate that game. We got the music. All right, Brad, you time it. 60 seconds is the limit. Here's the odds. Who sits on the Iron Throne? Oh, I don't feel good even saying that. All right. Bran Stark is the favorite. 4-1. What are you laughing at?
Just
number funny. 2, Jon Snow. 5-1. Then someone named Sansa? How do you say this?
Sansa.
Yeah, Sansa. Yeah. Stark, 6-1. Then some fellow, I hope, named Gentry. 7-1. Then we got Arya Stark.
Yeah, very good.
See, I'm doing pretty good here. 10-1. We got some Lannister dude. 10-1.
Lannister.
And who's this guy?
Targaryen.
Yes.
Yeah.
10-1.
10 seconds.
The Night King. 10-1. So,
by the way, I believe Targaryen is a woman, Daenerys Targaryen, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds very manly.
Time's up.
I agree. All right, guys, from dragons and sorcerers, we go to the NBA playoffs, where, RJ, you've spotted something, and you guys have seen a trend involving NBA playoff teams that are down 2-0 going into Game 3.
You know, there's all kind of academic papers written on how does something go viral. Because what's interesting is once something reaches a tipping point of awareness, what led to that? And I would make the case the zigzag in the NBA theory is one of those things. Fez, I've been here 20 plus years. You've been here a little less. Doesn't make me better, just more tenured. And from day one, the sharpest of the sharps understood the zigzag, which is if a team goes one way, which means they win, they tend to go the other way the next game because they're a little complacent. Other team is a little hungrier, doesn't want to lose that second game in a row. But the worst case, as some call it, the most extreme, is the zig-zig-zag, and which is home team wins game one, home team wins game two. Now you're coming home to game three, and it's a must win because you lose that game three, you're in trouble. Now, what happened as this evolved is we found out that energy, that focus, that crowd enthusiasm that benefits the 0-2 team really is centered in the first half, early in the game. Thus, what happened was, originally a lot of really sharp people, and I know you were in on this years ago, were betting these 0-2 teams in Game 3 at home in the first half. And here's the record. And we went back to 2002 pregame.com research. If you bet an 0-2 team in game three, so for example, tonight, OKC.
Yes, and Indiana.
And Indiana. In the first half, you're against the spread record, 88-40. 88-40. I mean, just doing the math, that is better than 66%. Now, here's where it gets complicated. Once something reaches a tipping point, everybody knows about it. And once everybody knows about it, if you tell Freddie Fanny Pack, hey, Freddie, you don't have to understand the math. Just understand this baby wins about 70% of the time since Prince was singing 1999 pretty much. He's going to take a bite of Twinkie and says, give me some of that. And what happens? It gets expensive. So generally, Fez, if the line in the game, let's say home team is favored by 6, what's the first half line?
3-3.5.
Yeah. So as the line gets higher, maybe a little more skewed to the first because you figure if they have a big lead, they're not as worried late. Okay. Lower lines, it's more 50-50.
Correct.
In the Oklahoma City game, what's the line for the game?
7.5. Oklahoma City's laying.
So let me do some quick math. That means 3.5 or 4 should be the first half line. What's the first half line?
It's up to 6, RJ.
So here we are. And when we come back, that's going to be the question. We've got a trend with an amazing winning history. It's reached the tipping point. Now it's on national radio. I'm contributing to the problem. But I don't care because it's about giving you the right information. The question is, even with the expensive line, is it bettable? We'll answer that when we come back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've got a Game 3 in the NBA playoffs tipping off a little over 10 minutes from now. It's in the Eastern Conference where the Raptors are at the Magic right now. The series tied at 1 apiece, and Toronto is a 5.5-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik, NBA expert.
Yeah, I lean to Orlando here, plus the 5.5. Orlando's been a much better team late in the year. They're currently on a 23-10 straight-up run, 21-12 against the spread. The markets have not corrected enough for how much better Orlando's been playing.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you look at the season numbers, Orlando's at a certain level. You look recently at a higher level. But what's fundamentally changed? Because in general, it could just be ebbs and flows, or did something change with Orlando?
Yeah, they picked up a backup point guard, Michael Carter-Williams. He's playing excellent ball. He's really helped them. And they had a rookie, Mo Bamba, who was a complete stiff, playing terrible. And Mo Bamba got hurt. It actually helped the team.
All right, so just a lean, though, not a bet on Orlando.
Guys, at 8:30 Eastern time, rather, it's the Celtics at the Pacers. This is on ABC. Boston, a 2-0 series lead. Indiana, a 3-point favorite in this one.
ABC Boston, what's that mean?
On ABC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
National, yeah.
Ah, no, I just thought it was just a local broadcast of the Celtics game.
No, believe it or not.
All right, so big game here, Fez. Boy, this number and your numbers... conflict.
Absolutely. You know, I have Boston 5 points better on a neutral site.
Now, let's think about that. Indiana, Boston plays in New York City, Madison Square Garden. You've got all things equal, Celtics favored by 5.
If they played in away, yeah, away from both home courts here.
So if they played you do realize Madison Square Garden's not a home court for either team, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So by... he's like Rain Man. He really is. I mean,
we're counting cards.
All right, now. So we agree with
I'm
that.
I'm with you. Yes.
You follow it.
Yes.
Steve Fezzik, RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. Now, home field for the Pacers is what?
Give them 4.
Okay. And oh, by the way, Pacers are down
0-2, must win spot.
So, I mean, this is it for the Pacers. What should the line be based on your numbers?
Give the Pacers 2 extra points of incentive. I still only make Indiana -1, pricing in all that motivation.
So pricing in home court, pricing in it's a must-win game 3, and 2 is a lot. What's the line?
Indiana -1.
Okay, that's your line. What's the current market line?
Boston's catching 3, and I will bet +3. I like it.
All right, so this is one. So the line's 3. What was it a little earlier today?
It's been 2.5 to 3 all day long.
Okay, I thought it was even a little higher.
It just dropped down to 2.5, by the way. Sorry to interrupt, guys.
Oh, okay. So Fez says he likes Boston. Boom, the line moves. This is live now. So what you're saying is you just fundamentally think the difference in these teams is greater. Now, I've been on the other side. I've been on the Pacers thinking, hey, they had a flat spot after the big injury, and then they played pretty well. Then they had a flat spot. I thought they'd reset. Market tends to agree with me. You're betting the other way. You've got the Celtics, and you bet them at 3.
Yes.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are down 2-0 to the Portland Trail Blazers. They will tip off at 9:30 Eastern time on ESPN, and OKC is an 8-point favorite.
All right, Fez. So we've already established you bet OKC before the series, laying a minus number on a road team. That was bold. Game one, they lost. We thought, is Fez going to be concerned? Comes in, howdy doody smile, we're fine. Three-pointers, he's just blah, blah, blah. Game two.
Missed the three-pointers again.
Blah, blah, blah. And then he said, you know something? I don't give a care. I'm betting an extra couple thousand on OKC to win the win the series. And he tweeted out the ticket. Now it's game three. We've already said you're putting your child's welfare at risk, perhaps, by being so heavy on OKC. What are you doing in this individual game?
This individual game, I did wind up passing just because the point spread is so high here at -7.5 to -8 on Oklahoma City.
And how about the first half?
On the first half, it's up to -6. I'll lean to the first half -6.
So you're not betting the first half?
I am not.
At that number. Brad, you are.
Yeah, I like OKC here. I know I'm paying a premium.
In the first half.
In the first half, -6. We just mentioned it. But RJ, we've been paying a premium on the first half the last 3 years, and yet this first half trend is on a 24-4 run the last three postseasons. I'll take OKC -6. I like it. I bet it.
Oh, yeah. This is straight hip-hop.
I mean, he says he doesn't care, even though the line should... Brad Power says the line should be 3.5 here in the first half. I don't care. Straight hip hop. I'm laying the 6 like numbers don't matter. I got to be honest. I think this thing's out. I think there's too much of a premium. I'm going to pass. We'll see who's right on Monday.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.